Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is still in the miracle working business. Beloved, my heart's cry is for God's people in a personal way, and for the corporate body of Christ to experience God's presence in a way we never have before, to be in such close fellowship with Him and be so sensitive to the Spirit of God that He will direct our steps, that we will walk in obedience to Him. We won't be ignorant of His will, because if we're not certain, if we don't understand, James tells us that he encourages us that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, because this God we serve is a liberal God. He's a gracious God. He's not going to withhold. He's not going to criticize you or condemn you or put you down because you want understanding, but he will give you that wisdom that is from above, which is first peaceable and pure and easy to be entreated, full of good fruits, without hypocrisy. He gives this kind of wisdom as we seek his face. And we've been looking at 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, at a very important time in the life of David and the people of Israel, because we see that there were two attempts to bring the Ark of God to the city of David. The first one failed tragically. The Uzzah, the son of Abinadab, was slain because of his presumption and error. David feared before the Lord, and in the 3 months it was at the house of humble Obed-Edom. He was simply a porter. He wasn't a priest, nothing special, but he was a humble believer, and God blessed him and his household. The word got to David. And so in that time, as they had researched what the word of the Lord said, the instructions that had been given to Moses, as I shared on yesterday's broadcast, it says they brought the Ark of God into the city of David, and they bear it on the shoulders of the priests. They didn't invent another new cart as they done the first time with elaborate decorations and pay others to carry it for them, but they bear the Ark upon their own shoulders. And beloved, what does that say for us today? It tells us that Jesus, the Anointed One, our Christ, just like the Ark, must be borne by those who have been separated unto Him. This is very important. It's one thing to just, you know, blithely say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I've accepted Jesus, I believe in Him, I believe the Word of God. But it requires a sanctification that the Spirit of God will do if we are willing. Hear what the Old Testament says in 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, verses 14 and 15. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves. They prepared themselves physically and spiritually to bring up the Ark of the Lord God of Israel and bear the Ark of God upon their shoulders as Moses commanded. And in Acts, the 9th chapter, let's go to the New Testament, verse 15, we see that Saul had this tremendous salvation experience. He encountered the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus as he was going there to persecute the Christians. And the Lord also speaks to Ananias and tells him that this great persecutor of the Christian Saul, who's going to become the great apostle Paul, he tells Ananias in verse 15, he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And of course, he's called the apostle of the Gentiles because that was that first commissioning. And you know, beloved, recently I've been thinking about that scripture that says, many are called, but few are chosen. And you know, as a young Christian, I didn't think much about that scripture, but I thought, well, yeah, that makes sense. God's calling everyone. He's not willing that any should perish. But I thought, chosen, I thought, well, that's just God's divine selection. Now, you know, I choose you. And of course, this is not mitigating or diminishing his foreknowledge. He knows the future. But it occurred to me that those who are chosen, whether in fivefold public ministry or a committed, devoted layperson, just like this Obed-Edom who housed the ark for 3 months, the Lord chooses those depending on how a person responds to his call. Did you hear what I'm saying? You're chosen on the basis of your response to his call. Not everyone is willing to go all the way with the Lord. Not everyone is willing to carry the burden of the Lord. Remember, Paul was shown by the Lord how many great things he must suffer for his name's sake. Amen. So, beloved, there's a price, there's a cost. God loves everyone. There are many that'll be in heaven and they've loved the Lord. Sometimes it's just even a deathbed experience, but there are those whom God has called and they've responded with a seriousness and a steadfastness and a faithfulness. And it, as I said, it matters not the position, but what matters is the heart response. And those are the ones who are chosen, whom God entrusts with the real treasures, the secret hidden things of the Lord. But now, let's go on in our look at 2 Samuel. And we see David in verses 14 and 15 dancing before the Lord. His mourning is now turned into joy. His mourning is turned into literal dancing. His sackcloth has been exchanged for the girdle of gladness, if you will. Psalm 30:11-12 says, "Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. That is, thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." And so we see the blessing that God had bestowed upon humble Obed-Edom, the simple porter in the house of God, a gatekeeper, if you will, a doorkeeper, brought about the blessing of strength and faith to David. And we see that, as the New Testament tells us, perfect love casts out fear. What brought David's joy and the blessing of God? Not only sacrifice, he was sacrificing oxen every, you know, six steps, but obedience. And Romans 5:11 declares, "We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Because of what Jesus has done, we can come spotless before the very throne of God, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. What is it? What's the heart of the matter, beloved? How can we reduce it to its simplest form if we want the presence of God, the glory of God? Well, Scripture tells us in the New Testament, recorded in Mark, the 12th chapter, verse 30, "We're to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength." So, in summarization, we've looked at what God required under the old covenant, but God's principles have not changed. We need the fear of the Lord restored to the church. We need an awareness of the holiness of God. If we want an end time restoration of God's glory, of his power, of his presence, of his miracles, we have to give preeminence, first of all, to the word of God and obedience to that word. You know, it's not enough to be a hearer of the word. That doesn't, you know, we deceive ourselves if we hear it and don't do it, James said. But we will see a preeminence of the Holy Spirit inspiring God's word. And we will see, and it's coming, beloved, a destruction of man's pride and ego and presumption. Just as occurred with Uzzah, he thought, you know, it had been in the household of his father for a very long time. And in presumption, he did something he should never have done. And he died in the presence of God. And we'll also see I believe the revelation of the holiness of God, His great majesty. He is a God of love, but we must not minimize His holiness and His majesty to emphasize just His goodness. There is the goodness and the severity of the Lord. And also, we must have humility. We must be willing to decrease, as John the Baptist said, that He, Jesus, might increase. We have to be willing to exalt Jesus. It's not going to be a great ministry. It's not going to be a man. It's not going to be a woman. But all glory and all eyes must be upon Jesus. That is what God is doing in this hour. And also, there's going to be beautiful, united praise and worship. Let me just share the last few verses of that, chapter 6 and 2 Samuel. The ark of the Lord came into the city of David, but Saul's daughter Michal, who was David's wife, saw the king leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And it said David pitched the ark of the Lord in the tent. He had pitched the tent and set the ark of the Lord in that tent. He offered offerings. He gave offerings and blessings to the people. He gave everyone, man and woman, a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh, a flagon of wine. But when he returned to his household, she was rebuking him and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself in the eyes of the handmaids, his servants, as one of the vain fellows, shamelessly uncovering himself of his royal robes." And David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will play before the Lord, and I will be more vile than this, and I will be base in mine own sight. And the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them, I shall be had in honor." And as a punishment, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. And so we see the heart of David as he expressed himself. This is how our heart attitude must be if we would see the glory and the power of God restored to His end time church. And beloved, I believe that is going to be happening. He has people who love Him with all of their heart. So pray with me and pray in your time before the Lord. Let us join our hearts that we personally can experience God's presence, His power, and will walk in the fear and admonition of the Lord, as David did. Amen. I love you. I thank you for joining me this week. If you have prayer needs, as always, I invite you to write and share those needs. The announcer will give our contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass A. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.